Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY for Community Conversations. We air this show each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. in place of our regular morning show. Community Conversations has pre-recorded interviews on different issues and happenings in our community and will continue as the stand-in for our morning show until the coronavirus abates and it's safe to be back in the studio. I'm Chris Bessler, host for today's show. Today we dive into the upcoming May 19th primary election and have interviews with the two Republican candidates for Bonner County Commissioner in District 1, Butch Horton, and incumbent Stephen Bradshaw. Each interview is 25 minutes. One important note about this election is that due to the coronavirus precautions, all voting is being done by absentee ballot. To vote, you must request an absentee ballot be sent to you by mail. You can do that right now by going to the county elections page at www.bonnercountyid.gov. The state has a very good website where you can request a ballot at www.idahovotes.gov. And there's a lot of information about the balloting and all the candidates at the Election Central on Sandpoint Online at sandpointonline.com. So voters, get after it and get your request in for the absentee ballot. You must do that by May 19th, and it has to be returned by June 2nd. And with that, let's get on to the interviews. First, we talk with the Republican candidate for Bonner County Commissioner, Butch Horton. So we're talking now with Butch Horton. He is a candidate for Bonner County Commissioner in District 1. Butch, thanks for talking with us.
Good morning, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. So to get started here, tell us about your background and your qualifications that you think will help you in the job. Basically, introduce us to yourself.
Okay. Primarily, I'm Butch Horton, running for District 1 County Commissioner. Raised in a military family. I subsequently served in the military myself for 6 years. 2-year degree in pre-engineering in Weber State College in Utah. I have an economics degree from the University of Idaho. Have served in the hospitality industry, the automobile industry, and my latest gig, if you will, was with a government contractor serving the VA hospital system in the country. So my background essentially is budgetary policy management. I'm very good at budgets, pro formas, those types of things. I think my true strength is just leadership. Like I referenced earlier, just having been raised in a military family, I understand the concept of leadership and command and control, those types of things. I've always felt that you manage numbers and you lead people. So and I think at the end of the day, the really reason I am running is because I've just become personally somewhat frustrated by the tone and direction of the county government for a lot of reasons. And I just really want to lend my leadership and management skills to better suit the needs of all the people in this county. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, thanks for that. So to get into what you consider the biggest issues in the race, what are the most important issues that you identify for this race?
Yeah, I think that honestly the biggest issues is just at this point is really in my mind is just our growth and how we're going to handle that growth through planning and zoning and bringing all stakeholders to the table and really just discussing those items in depth and just have I know we've got a comprehensive plan, which is something that all counties are required to do in the state. But I see through my research that we've talked about, or my opponent has spoken about overhauling it. And in my mind, in my research, it's more of a dismantling of what we presently have as zoning and planning. And I think we just need to get back on track with that.
So if you're seeing it as a dismantling of that department, what kind of steps would you take to reassemble it?
I think we need to go back to the prior planning and zoning laws and everything that we had enacted and just kind of start fresh from there, because since about 2016, 2017, we've just done some strange things, in my estimation. Building location permits have kind of expanded with no real input as to sewer. I mean, I'm told that there is an input, but candidly, it's really not. So you're just allowed to say, in this county right now, this is where I want to put my piece of property. They say yes. And there's just not a whole lot of communication, in my mind, between the county and Panhandle Health that allows them to get out and say, okay, well, this is where your sewer needs to go, your drain field, your septic. Does it have adequate water? Are you building on an existing drain field? Is it going to pollute the water for your neighbors? Just, to me, very simple procedural things that just need to be tightened up is really the big thing for me. And the drum I constantly beat is, especially here, where 10% of this county is water, is water quality. It affects our economy, it affects our way of life, and it can affect our health.
Okay, and so what are there measures in that you see the county should be putting into place there to protect water quality? Of course, water quality, top of mind for people in this county, they think about protecting Lake Ponderé, since it's such an important resource for us.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's more than that. I mean, there's floodplains, there's aquifers, there's streams, there's rivers. One of the things that's been a concern to me, the old program allowed for, you could do a 40% setback off of streams, wetlands, or what they call an artificial high water mark for the lake. And in the last few years, that's been given a 30% variance. So what you can do is now you can go 28 feet. Well, 40 feet was for a reason. 28 feet off Lake Ponderé is probably not a good idea. It's just the tightening up of the things that were in effect before that worked very well. And my question is always, why did we do this? What's the logic behind doing something like that? But water quality is not just sitting on a stream or sitting on a lake. It's the poor planning of an individual that just willy-nilly throws in a septic system. And where's that septic? Where's the drain field going? Where's the aquifer? Where's the wetlands? Where's all those things that it can contaminate possibly an orchard or agricultural or your neighbor? Those are the things we need to get all the stakeholders to the table. So each and every time we decide we're going to let somebody build something, that everything is in accordance to the health of the community.
Okay. So let's talk about another issue that falls under the bailiwick there of planning and zoning.
Okay.
One issue of contention is the planned asphalt plant that will be built over part of an existing gravel pit in Sagal, but it's drawn strenuous opposition from neighbors. County and company officials say it's correctly zoned and that project is proceeding. Do you have any a take on that?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I kind of looked at as much data and research I can on that. I know at one point a prior commission had basically just said no because there wasn't water and sewer. Subsequently, that was changed. I think the present commission feels as if they're working within the law, but I just think that's one thing that I'm honestly not as clued in on that as I should be, because there are so many different opinions and evidence here and evidence there that, frankly, without being truly in the know, you know, as a 40-hour job, that's a difficult one for me. I mean, there's the personal aspect and there's the professional. And everything I see right now, within the law, it's allowable. That's not to say that I'm totally on board with that, but that's also not to say that I'm going to walk in and turn it all around. So that's probably one of the most difficult things right now that we face, is just figuring out that whole situation with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
as an individual project.
And as you referenced previously, it's also a factor of growth in the county. And the kind of question that I think the county is going to face repeatedly as it does continue to grow.
Sure.
Okay, so roads are always an issue for county commissioners. How do you feel the county road department is doing with maintenance and construction of roads?
You know, I think they do a pretty good job. I live out on Bottle Bay Road, and that's an interesting one. It's a little tight. You got, you know, you got cliff or you got water as you cruise along. But no, I think they do a good job. I mean, obviously, that is something they are constantly working on. And depending on thaw and how much snow, how much rain, I mean, I was somewhat thrilled that they got ahead of things very early and did weight limits on roads. I thought that was pretty fantastic that they got ahead of the curve on that. I think, like with anything, there's always a little bit of improvement. But candidly, I think they do a really good job. There's a lot of roads in this county. I think someone told me 5% of the county is roads. That's a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, that they get these cleared for the snow, they take care of them, they manage them. They're trying to do potholes. I mean, there's some roads that are gravel, some roads that are dirt, some of the roads are asphalt. I think they do a pretty stinking good job. They really do.
Okay, another big area of work for the county commissioners are taxes and how they are spent. How do you feel the county is doing in minding its budget?
You know, I think fiscally, the commission does a pretty good job. My real concern is it's certainly associated with the budget, but just the amount of lawsuits. There must be a way to mitigate that a little bit. I mean, I've looked at a bunch of them. Some of them seem a little bit frivolous coming through, but that costs us money, you know. I mean, at some point, I'm sure we'll talk about the festival, but that's a good example. We're $70,000 into that right now. And I know we have a budget for that, for those kind of a contingency, if you will. But there's items that can be tightened up, without a doubt. I think there's the money there. Pretty good job. I would say a B+, maybe an A-, but there's always room for improvement. And I think some of those things that just stare at us on a daily basis can be addressed fairly quickly and easily.
Okay. Another big service that the county provides is waste management. It operates the Colburn site as well as some other sites around the county. And how do you feel Bonner County is doing with waste management?
You know, I think they do a good job there too. I mean, I know waste management as a group, who the county contracts with, you know, is they kind of have us hostage in a weird kind of way. For us to try to go out and build our own plant, our own recycling, our own landfill would be ghastly expensive. I noticed when I went to one of the meetings that the commission had decided to get rid of a lot of the recycling. And I kind of went, well, why would you do that? And then I found out that we were paying waste management. I think the number was $80-$85 a ton to haul it away. And then I'm thinking, well, these guys are hauling it away, but they're actually reselling it because that's what they do when you recycle. So I don't know if it's a matter of renegotiation. I just don't know the intricacies there. I don't know what the contractual agreements are. But I think from the county side, with what they've got, they do a pretty good job.
Okay. You referenced this a little earlier, but one of the most controversial decisions by the county commissioners has been the decision to sue the city over the Festival at Sandpoint's weapons policy at Memorial Field. To date, right. The county has spent over over $70,000. The city has spent over $30,000. And taxpayers, especially the ones that live in the city, are paying for both the prosecution and the defense on this case. What is your take on this, and would you do anything differently on this issue if you were in office?
I think for me, I mean, this is obviously a hotbed issue. Number one, I just always state right up front, I'm a total supporter of the Second Amendment, period. Bigger law brains, you know, than mine are always going to decide the outcome of this. But when you look at Idaho law, it explicitly says that no city or county can stop people from carrying guns on public property. But as you referenced, we're up to $70,000 from the county right now. But to me, what I would have done different, and maybe this is just hindsight, but I'm a big advocate of face-to-face, belly-to-belly sales. If there was a problem, I mean, I know the county referenced, they wrote this standpoint, you know, a couple of letters, and I'm thinking, it's a four-block drive, you know, go knock on a door, force somebody to sit down with you in a room and talk about it. That's the only real issue I have with it, is just the simple fact that I think we lawyered up fairly quickly on both sides, and that will never serve us very well. I mean, we're talking case precedent here. I mean, they salivated that type of thing. But it just goes back to sitting down face-to-face with people, even though you do not agree with them, you may not even like them. That's not the point. You are spending the taxpayers' money, and you need to account for that, and you need to be responsible for that. So you need to do your due diligence. You need to do everything you can to not get in that arena where you're just throwing money out, and regardless of what the outcome is, it's still money ill-spent as far as I'm concerned. It's just a matter of sitting down and talking, you know, and if you'd have done that two or three times face-to-face and nothing would have happened, then you pursue whatever legal means you feel you need to and that's appropriate. But I don't feel like they went in earnest to really sit down and talk. That's what I would have done different.
Well, one question that's been raised on this whole issue is, you know, why the county got involved in the first place, since the aggrieved party were the couple or the few individuals that attempted to carry their guns into the festival performance and were denied. Shouldn't they have been the ones to have prosecuted the city on this? And was it the county's role, really, to step in on that?
Boy, you're going to trap me on this one. the individual, you know, when you kind of look at, I don't believe he had legal standing, so I don't know that he could have done anything on his own. As to why the county jumped in so quickly to his defense as, you know, an individual among 47,000 people in this county, or 45,000, excuse me, those are questions I can't answer as to why it was handled that way. My feeling is, I mean, obviously, if you look at the videos, if you look at the setup, the outcome is exactly what the individual wanted. I was very surprised that the county jumped on it so quickly. You know, and I understand Sheriff Wheeler to a point, the fact that these are things he should look at because he's responsible for our safety, you know. I can't wrap my head around why the county jumped in so quickly to defend this individual if he couldn't defend himself first. Mm-hmm. Find out that avenue possibly first. I'm not sure. So.
Well, one more question on this one.
Yeah.
Asking for guesswork, I guess, but what do you think the outcome of this lawsuit will be?
It's not going to be popular, but I actually think that the county will prevail in this. I really do. If you just look at the law simply, you know, there's the idea, you know, well, it's lease for that 10 days. And there's some pretty strange arguments you could make for that 10 days if you leased it to another group that did illegal activity. And it certainly wouldn't become legal at that point. So I really believe that the county will prevail on this.
Okay. Again, we're all just kind of guessing at this point.
At the expense of everybody, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. Also one that's somewhat controversial here, though not so much right within our county, but it's a matter of concern to many Bonner County residents, even though it's not within Bonner County, and that is the proposed silicon smelter in Newport, just across the border in Washington. Some of our county residents are concerned about the possible pollution and other impacts that we would feel here. The project is at least somewhat still up in the air as to the permitting that's required over in Washington for it to proceed. But do you have thoughts on how the county, our county, Bonner County, should react to this proposal for something that might be not in our county but could have impacts here?
I am totally against it, plain and simple. I've looked at that, you know, from every which way. I mean, they wanted it rezoned. They wanted this. They wanted that. They wanted concessions. They promised we're going to get all these jobs. Nobody has really determined that those jobs are really going to come from Idaho people. You know, the EPA kind of walked past doing scrubbers, which, you know, basically cleans the air on it. I am totally against it. I see no merit in having this done this close to our county. And I think Newport probably by and large feels the same way. But I think the county commissioners should be united and just say no. That's a pretty simple one for me.
Okay. Well, just a couple more questions now. What would you say are the biggest differences between you and your opponent?
Biggest differences. I think a lot, but the biggest differences, I think I lend more of a fiscal background, a true, you know, budget policy management background than does Mr. Bradshaw. I am not afraid to get in and get dirty. I'm not afraid to talk to people. I think I have a very strong work ethic. I've always had one ever since I was a kid. I actually, if I do a job, I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I think at the end of the day, I think one of the things that really kind of a line of demarcation, if you will, between me and Mr. Bradshaw is I don't consider this position to be political in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's apolitical. However, you have to, you know, hang a banner on it to run. But it is an administrative position. I have told people over and over, you know, I'm applying for a job. And if you look at the requirements of the job and what the job description is, I am the best qualified. And that it's just that simple to me. Of course, I'm a Republican. I've been a Republican since 1980. I'm a Reagan Republican, and some people around here don't think that's a real Republican anymore. But I am a Republican. I've always been a Republican. But outside of that, I think I'm a good, strong business person. And that's what this job requires, is nose to the grindstone, 40 hours a week minimum, to do what is good for the taxpayers in this county. And that would be all of the taxpayers in this county.
Okay. Well, Butch Horton, open mic now for a closing comment. What would you like to say to the voters out there in conclusion?
I think my last statement kind of hit it. You know, I'm applying for a job. Throw all the politics aside. Throw the big picture stuff that goes on in Washington, D.C. and at the State House in Boise. What is important to us as individual taxpayers in Bonner County? And I think you touched it. It's roads. It's fire. It's water quality. It's our way of life. It's the environment. It's this amazing, amazing place that we live in. And because it's so amazing, people are coming here. So I think you need someone like myself that can do the job fiscally, can do the job on the planning and zoning side, with every Bonner County citizen at the forefront. And there's going to be times when, and I know this for a fact, there'll be times when I'm going to make a mistake, or there's going to be times when I'll do something that you won't agree with. And if I said anything different, I would be totally disingenuous. But I think that's part of the job. I will always do the job based on the law, number one. Number two, what is right? And also, what's going to serve the most people for that issue in the county? Not a minority, but a majority. So for that reason, I just hope that get out those absentee ballots and vote for Butch Horton.
Well, Butch Horton, Republican candidate for Bonner County Commissioner. Thank you for talking with us here today.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. It was great.
If you've just tuned in, this is Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY. And today we're airing interviews with Republican candidates for Bonner County Commissioner in District 1, who will be on the ballot for the May 19th primary election. We've just heard from candidate Butch Horton. Now we talk with his opponent on the ballot, incumbent Commissioner Stephen Bradshaw. Good morning, Stephen Bradshaw, Bonner County Commissioner for District 1. Thank you for talking with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Well, good. Well, with no more ado than that, let's get started. First question, tell us about your background and qualifications that you think are an asset for you in this job.
I've been self-employed since I was about 14. I moved here in 1988, seen a lot of changes in Bonner County. Used to be the best kept secret on the planet, but I guess it's not a secret anymore. I've served Bonner County for a year and a half now as commissioner. Enjoyed it. I love serving people. Pastor full time also, so serving people is what I do. Being a commissioner is just an administrator. You're just running a business, addressing problems as they come up, try to head some problems off at the pass before they happen. Work good on the budget. We've managed to keep the taxes at a steady pace where they're at. Did not take the 3% last year. I'm not in favor of foregone taxes. Long as we keep the budget tight, taxes should stay put. There's always cost of living increase, but we can't foresee that. We just have to plan for it and keep our budget tight. So we try to do the best we can with what we got without putting a tax burden on the people.
Well, okay. Well, thank you for that. Let me follow up with a kind of perennial question here. Why are you deciding to run for a second term?
I wasn't sure that I wanted to do a second term, but I really like the job. I like working with the people that I work with. Love the people of Bonner County. I love the county. And until somebody better suited for the job comes along, I'm going to hold it. And then when somebody that I think is a better candidate than me, I'll step aside and let them have it.
Okay, well, fair enough. So let's turn to issues. What do you think are the most important issues that you identify for the next, I guess it will be 4 years in your next term?
Keeping the taxes down and giving the people the ability to do what they want to do on their property, long as it's within reason and makes sense and it fits the property. I don't have a problem with that. I am a big advocate of property rights. I do not like big government. Big government's not a solution, it's a problem. And so you have a piece of property, I believe it belongs to you, and you have a right to do things within the bounds of the law and what fits the property and what makes sense for the property.
Okay, well, that segues into one of my first questions here on the issues here about planning and zoning. The Planning and Zoning Department underwent a restructuring a few years ago. How do you judge the work of the Planning and Zoning Department now, dealing with the complex issues that they have to deal with?
They have to deal with some really complex issues when it comes to wetlands and FEMA, floodplains, things like that. So they're doing an excellent job. Milton has taken on the task of going through all the old codes, getting rid of the obsolete things that don't make sense, that don't apply anymore. So it's a constant work. It's a constant, and they do a good job. He looks, and when something comes up, you know, every day something new. Somebody wants to do something different, so you look into that, and here's this old code or something that is like, where did that come from? Why were they? What were they thinking? And so you look at it, change the language in it, or either do away with it and write a new one, and make it fit Bonner County and what best serves the people. And so they're doing an excellent job. It's a very laborious job, time-consuming, and I think they do a great job. Having been a builder in Bonner County for about 30 years, getting a permit used to be the most frustrating thing in my life. I would tell people, yeah, I'll build you a house. You go get the permit because I'm not dealing with them. It was that bad. And now you just go in there with your parcel number, sketch of what you want to do. They look at it, say, yes, you can do that, or this is the things you need to do to be able to do that. And they help the customer. So our customer service, we push really hard on customer service on all our departments, and we want to make things easy and efficient for everybody. And so one size is never going to fit all. Everything's unique, but it's a much simpler process than it used to be, and they're trying to streamline that even better. So I think they're doing a great job.
I guess a follow-up question here would be, do you feel the county's providing enough protections for existing landowners so that properties perhaps adjacent to theirs aren't put into use that, you know, might devalue their property or impact their quality of life?
That is something we look at on a regular basis. We're going to protect your rights. But at the same time, the person that lives next door to you has his rights to do what he wants to do on his property within reason and within the bounds of the law of Bonner County and the state of Idaho.
Well, one specific issue along those lines is a issue of contention, and that's the planned asphalt plant that's to be built over a part of an existing gravel pit in Sagal. Neighbors have been strenuously opposing that, but county and company officials say it is correctly zoned. Do you have a position on that particular proposed asphalt plant?
Yeah. A lot of it, you know, it only takes one or two people to get the whole neighborhood riled up and started on something. But as commissioners, we have to operate within the laws of the state. And if you want to open a business, let's say a gravel pit, a mining operation, an asphalt plant, and in this particular instance, the landowner was behind on some of his permitting and whatnot with the state. So we looked at the asphalt plant, the planning and zoning did. It was zoned for it. There's no reason it can't be there. It's not a health hazard. If it was a biological or ecological danger, the biggest asphalt recycling plant around in the Northwest is right over here in Spokane on the bank of the river. And with Washington's EPA laws and DEQ laws, that would never happen if it was a hazard. But by law, once you meet all your requirements for whatever business you want to start, if you meet all the permit needs, all the licensing with the state, Panhandle Health District, and the rest of them, we can't legally deny you. If we do, then we will be in court because you're going to sue us because you've done everything right and you have a right to do your business, and we can't tell you no by law, long as you meet all your requirements and it's done according to the laws. And so, you know, whether I'm in favor of an asphalt plant or not, I still have a job to do that I have to follow the laws.
Okay.
And so there's where we're at on that one.
Okay. Next issue, and that's roads, which are always an issue for county commissioners. How do you think the county road department is doing with maintenance and constructions of roads in the county?
I think our roads are in better shape than they've ever been. We try to budget. Steve Klatt's been doing a really good job at that, at keeping the budget. We only get so much money, and so what Road and Bridge gets, he knows, you know, with an estimate what's going to be used in the wintertime. This is going to be for new construction. This is for maintenance. And so because of where we live and the climate change, the roads heaving, things like that, it's a challenging job keeping the roads passable in North Idaho, especially in the springtime. But they want to build a certain number of miles of new road every year. The more road we pave, the less maintenance that road requires. So it frees up the guys to work on more roads. And so that's our goal, is to get as much of that done as we can for the dollar that we have. And so I think they do an excellent job. When there's a problem, they get right on it. I know that some people get frustrated. They're at the end of a long road. Springtime comes. This year was really challenging because it would freeze, then it would thaw, then it would freeze, then it would thaw. And if you pass over it a couple of times, it just becomes a mud hole. And then they get frustrated because the county won't come in there. But if they bring a big maintainer in there and they get to the mud spot, now the mud spot just got bigger. Mm-hmm. And even worse time you run that 10-ton machine through there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, mud season is infamous around here. No question about
it is.
That.
It is a challenging thing.
Yeah. So another major service that the county provides is waste management. What's your assessment of waste management in the county?
I think it was a mess. It's getting better. It's something that has been kicked down the road for 25 years. Nobody wanted to address it. Right now, and I'm not sure the feasibility of it makes any sense to me, but waste management, you take your garbage to our waste sites. Waste management hauls it to Oregon, of all places, and it's like there's no way that can be efficient. Why can't we build a new landfill? And a lot of the reasons that I get pushed back is, because of the liability. If somebody wants to build on it 20 years from now, they find out it was a landfill. That should be done during full disclosure when you buy a piece of property. You know, if the landfill gets closed and sold off or whatever, it should be told that, yeah, you're buying an old landfill. I'm good with that. Let's go. You know, whatever. But, it would be much more efficient to have our own landfill. The permitting process is a nightmare because you're dealing with the feds. And so if you've ever dealt with IRS or tried to get anybody on the phone in the federal world, you know how frustrating that is. But, waste management, we're constantly looking at new ways to make it more efficient, just to improve it, because it is a growing problem as the county grows. The more people there is, the more garbage there is. A lot of hazardous waste issues you have to deal with, and so it's a pretty complex thing.
Do you feel the county is engaging in enough recycling? Is there more that you'd like to see the county do there?
The recycling thing, some of it makes sense. Some of it just economically doesn't work. It's a losing deal. The recycling the glass was a cool idea, but nobody wants it anymore. So now you have to pay to haul it off instead of getting a little bit back for it. The steel, metal, that brings some revenue. Commercial permits we went up on. Out-of-state permits we went up on. And the only feedback that we've got on the out-of-state permits going was, hey, we love it, you know, because you got contractors in Newport that is closer to our dump right there than it is to theirs. And they, even with our fee increases, they say it's still much cheaper than Washington's. And so we've been able to, we had to go up on garbage a little bit just because it was going in the hole every year. And that's helping, but we're constantly looking at ways to make it better without putting the burden on the taxpayers.
Okay, let's turn to another issue, more of a hot topic. One of the most controversial decisions by the commissioners has been the decision to sue the city over the Festival at Sandpoint's weapons policy. By the latest numbers, so far the county spent over $70,000. The city spent over $30,000 on this lawsuit. Some taxpayers in the city are paying for both the prosecution and the defense of this. What's your take on this lawsuit, and would you do anything differently if you had a second chance here?
No, I wouldn't do anything differently. This is 100% on the mayor of Sandpoint. 100% falls on his back. Dan tried to get a hold of him. Tried to get him to come to the table and talk about it. Jeff Connolly tried to get him to come to the table and talk about it. They would not respond, would not return calls. I initiated the deal with the law firm, send them a letter, encourage them to come to the table. Let's discuss this. You've put our police department at risk. You put our sheriff department and our prosecutor in a compromised position. This is clearly state law violation. Come to the table. Let's talk about it. Let's get this thing figured out. They would not respond. We sent the registered letter. They didn't respond. Sent the letter of intent to file. They didn't respond. Sent the letter to file. They didn't respond. Filed, and they still didn't respond. And so the lawyer for the festival, who was not even included in the lawsuit, finally responded, and the city has still balked about responding. All we asked was that they come to the table and say, hey, this is state law. You cannot do this. And they completely ignored it, would not respond. Head set on disregard to state law, people's private rights, and we saw that play out again on this COVID thing when he wanted full control over everything in the city for a 5-mile radius around, wanted to do a gun ban. I don't know why they elected him a second time. It's confusing to me, but this is 100% falls on Mayor Rogstad, 100%, hands down. Because he absolutely refused to respond, even to the court order.
Well, here's a question that comes up. The aggrieved party in this case was an individual who was denied entry into the festival with his gun. Should the county have let him be the one to bring the lawsuit rather than incurring that expense by taxpayers?
We serve the people of Bonner County and standing up for their rights and defending their rights as part of that. We didn't sue for money. We're still not suing for money. Even if we win, it wouldn't give us attorney fees back, because it's just we want a judge to declare. We reached out to the attorney general. Hey, make a decision on this. Give us an answer. Oh, let your prosecutor. The attorney general in Idaho is never going to give you a direct answer on anything. I don't know how he got his job, why he even has the job, but he will not give a decision on anything. And he just says, well, let your county prosecutor figure it out. And so, you know what? It's up to the district court judge, when the attorney general could have said, you know what? This is what state law says. There's no language in it that addresses that you rented it out for a couple of days to festival. There's language in there for that. So let's get legislators fixed. Nope, they didn't want to do that. They want the judge to make a decision. So the whole thing should have never gone this far. And had Rockstad come to the table, it wouldn't have gone that far. An attorney would have never been involved. He would have went, oh, I didn't know I put my police officers at risk. But he doesn't care.
Okay.
He obviously does not care about his police department.
Okay. Well, we're going to run out of time here in just a couple minutes, but I got a couple more questions. One other issue I wanted to ask about is the proposed silicon smelter in Newport. That's even though it's not in our county, it's a concern to a lot of our Bonner County residents.
Right.
Concerned about possible pollution. Do you have any thoughts on how the county should react to that?
Bottom line, we're on the downwind side of it. We're going to get the pollution. Our ecosystem is just super sensitive. That thing is going to be a disaster. Even if everything in it goes right, it'll be bad for our area ecologically. If it's such a great deal, why don't they do it where they mine the rock? Would that not make better sense than trucking it 500 or 1,000 miles down the road and across the international border? Why will Canada not let them put it in? Nobody has ever answered that question. Get an answer to that question, you'll find out what's wrong with the smelter.
Okay.
But well, I will fight it tooth and nail with whatever ability we have, which is pretty limited because it's not in our state. But we can still, if we can get our governor to push back, then, you know, that would have more push than county commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know that our lieutenant governor, Janet, is looking at it, and she's been following it. And so as to how much we can actually push back, I don't know, but I know that we can push back.
Okay, one more question. What would you judge is the biggest difference between you and your opponent?
The biggest difference between me and my opponent, I've come straight out and tell you who I am, what I am, what I stand for. And I think he's been a little less than forthright on that. He has not chose to tell people where his funding's coming from. And it's like I said in the last election, if you want to know who you're voting for, look where their funding comes from. His funding comes from Friends of Scotchman Peak, Idaho Forest Collaborative. And there's a subject you might want to look into, why those two want to jump in bed together when they're directly, diametrically opposed to one another. But his funding comes from everything on the left, but he says he's conservative. I think he's less than what he says he is. He doesn't support the Idaho Constitution, and he doesn't support the Republican platform. And he stated that in a letter to the Bonner County Republican Committee. So I think he should be a little more forthright. And you know what? If I was a Democrat, I would stand proud and say, I'm a Democrat, vote for me. If I was a libertarian, I'd say, I'm a libertarian, come vote for me. If I was a communist, hey, I'm a communist, come vote for me. But he does. People don't do that. They want to put on something that's not them to try to get you to vote for them so that they can go in with their agenda. Steve Lockwood, I agreed with nothing politically with that guy, but I admired him because he told you straight up front where he stood and what he believed in. He made no bones about it. He'd tell you straight out. And that's the way a man should do. If you're going to be a man, stand on your hind legs and be a man. If you're not, go home, wash the dishes, hide in the closet, whatever. Well, but if you're going to be a man and stand up and be what you are.
I'll have to let Mr. Horton answer these particular things, but I think he's on record pretty firmly as a Republican for most of his life or all his life. I think since Reagan, at least, is what he said, I believe, at the forum. But anyways, that's for him to answer. We have just a minute left. We have time for a closing comment. Stephen, what would you like to say to the voters in conclusion?
I will continue to fight for the citizens of Bonner County with all my being. The phone is always available there at the county. I've got email, I return calls, I return emails. And whatever problem you have, we will look into it. I can't promise that we can fix everything, but we can certainly address it and go from there. So, Steve Bradshaw, Bonner County Commissioner, I'd love to have your vote one more time.
Well, Stephen, thank you again for speaking with us today.
All right, thank you for having me.
And that's our show for today. Again, another big reminder, you may vote only by absentee ballot in the primary election. You must file a request for your absentee ballot either online or by mail by May 19th. The ballot must be returned by June 2nd. But don't wait to request your ballot, as it can take up to 2 weeks to receive it. Go and request a ballot right now at www.bonnercountyid.gov or www.idahovotes.gov or get details and information at sampointonline.com. I'm Chris Bessler, and I've been your host today for Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'll be back next Thursday at 8 a.m. when we'll have interviews with the Republican candidates for State Representative in District 1, Sage Dixon and Gary Supiger. Be sure to tune in then. Meantime, thanks for listening, and have a great week.